So now we're back for part two, and I'm not going to interrupt it because it's long. So here we are. We'll go right into part two. It picks up right where we left off.
And I know that the inline user, the average cell phone user, most of them don't even know that their signal goes to a tower. They just don't think about it.
Yeah, I agree. They just use their phone. A lot of people don't realize what's involved. I mean, it's amazing to make one call, how, you know, through the tower, through the fiber, into the core, out to the phone system. Yeah, just amazing. But I got one more thing. You said Department of Labor.
Wait, hold on. There's something else I wanted to put on the end of that. When people think about union, they think politics. They think Democratic, Republican, and they think about all these different areas of politics. But this fight that has been kicked off spans across all political lines. For tower climbers out there, it doesn't matter what party you're a part of or what you think about different political matters. This isn't politics, this is lots. And it affects everyone, not just in this industry. Most people in the country know that one crazy ass tower guy that does that tower stuff. Well, if they care about him, then they need to be caring about this. And for other industries and other industries being unionized, I mean, I don't even know how I feel about other industries. I just know that we need it. And even if they disagree with unions, they should support us for this one. They don't have to agree with everybody else. But they do need to see. Mothers need to stop having to attend funerals of their sons. Kids shouldn't have to continue to ask mom, why isn't dad around anymore?
Boy, I got to tell you, though, the perception is, you know, you're either pro-union or anti-union. I know you've seen it, but I get a lot of feedback. People that are anti-union, they just look at all the people that are anti.
They look at the existing unions. They look at the existing unions and how they operate right now. And here's a major difference. With the existing unions, these unions that are 100, 120, 130 years old, where they're at today is a culmination of all their positive and all their negative decisions. Every decision that they've made all along the way, that's where they're at now. We have the opportunity to be able to learn from history and learn from the mistakes and even see, you know, the positives that they've done, the successes that they've had, in order to be able to tailor-make ours to succeed where theirs hasn't. Because not one of them has been able to put a significant foothold in the tower industry yet.
No, not in the tower industry. And telecom had their unions, but you even see that going away. And the iron workers, you know, the iron workers had the original tower climbers because it was steel work, right? That's how people perceived it. Now it's so much more. And it's also not one big company, you know, you're all over the place. But, well, I want to talk about OSHA quick. You mentioned Department of Labor. I mean, what do you think about OSHA? I mean, I think they're doing all that they can do with what they have to help the tower industry. You know, but it never seems like enough, does it?
You know, I think with OSHA, they've been tasked with a pretty significant job to oversee the health and the safety of all workers across the U.S. While I understand for a major department of government, that can be, I can't even imagine how big of a task it is. But when everything else is running normal, I guess, and our industry has the highest per capita death out of anybody, then they should be concerned. If their number two guy wants to have an address at Nate and talk about how concerned they are, they need to follow through with it. And every time they talk and they're talking about redoubling their efforts, where? Where are they redoubling efforts in any area aside from their mouth? Their actions aren't showing it. Their funding probably has not increased. Their staff and their personnel is still the same numbers. I don't see them creating a major department inside of OSHA just for towers.
Yeah, I think like I talked about in the, I think OSHA's staff was reduced. I think they were reduced again. I think just from budget cuts in Washington. I think they have fewer people. I think the FCC was
Well, then how can they have the audacity? How can they have the audacity to come out and say that they're doing anything different when they know by the numbers they're going to be able to do half as well?
I think it comes down to money. You know, they're doing what they can, I think, with what they got. That's about all OSHA can do. Same as the FCC, they're doing the best they can with what they got.
I'll agree with you on the money portion. Now, if they have been inadequate, to use a nice term, in the tower industry, because funding, well, daggone it, they need to start acquiring some funding. They need to start petitioning Congress. Hell, every one of them need to take a day off and go down the street and make their own big damn car wash, if that's what they got to be able to pay their staff, to be able to do their job. Because if they went as far as to address our industry and say it's a primary concern, then they need to start showing action that shows a primary concern, because I haven't seen it yet.
Well, they started the website. That wasn't enough for you? You know what I'm talking about, right? The communications tower website.
Hot damn, my six-year-old niece can create a website. But she ain't stopping the fatalities of the industry neither. No, neither is OSHA.
That's sort of funny. Maybe. It's not, you know what, I will give OSHA credit. I mean, they addressed it. They're doing what they can. They got together with the FCC and created TireApp. And I know a lot of people are very critical of TireApp. But you know what they could have done? They could have done nothing. You know, you have
to, I don't want to be taken wrong and people to take me that I'm saying that OSHA isn't doing anything, hasn't done anything. Some of the standards that the OSHA's helped to write has even the standards that they've written, even with some of the investigations that have went right. Hell, I can't even say that. No, OSHA's failing. OSHA is in last place for real.
I got to defend the FCC. I get frustrated with the FCC because I think they could do more, but, you know, what do you do? Again, it comes down to a budget. They only have so many people. I wish they would do more publicly. That I wish they did more, because I know for a fact I've interviewed several FCC people. They know what's going on, but they can't say anything publicly. Everything's hush-hush. And it's the same way in this industry. This industry is no better, because every time there's an accident, and you know this, Bryce, everyone lawyers up and a gag order is put on them. That's why I can't talk about anything. You know, if someone gets hurt, lawyered up, both sides lawyered up, gag roll.
No, it goes one level farther past that. Is they'll come to the widow and be like, hey, we need you to sign a gag order while, you know, the workman's comp's going through. Hell, that could be 2-3 years. Who knows how long?
Oh, it happens right away. I know that for a fact.
Unfortunately, there's too many times, even though they sign that gag order, so the company can save face, because, of course, they don't want climbers being turned away because the widow's saying how bad the company's doing them. And then too many times at the end of the road, there's still nothing.
Yeah. It's just very frustrating.
So, yeah,
anyway.
As far as OSHA goes, they need to step it up. But even if they won't regulate the industry, we as tower hands are getting ready to.
Well,
it's not
going to
come from anybody. It's not going to come from anybody else but us. We are capable. It's time, and we're going to. Nobody else wants to tell these companies you can't do this. We will.
So I got two other things.
Sure.
One thing about women as tower climbers. I know you, I think you started that Facebook group. What's it called?
Elevated Estrogen.
Elevated Estrogen. How do you think it's going to, the union will help the women?
Absolutely. I think it'll be a great opportunity for women. I I cherish the opportunity for more women to be able to come in the industry. But I do know that by the numbers, not every woman is going to be able to keep up with the guys. But there are some that can. The difference is that you'll never know unless they get a chance. So with this unionization, when we have our training program, bring all the women in the world on. Come on. If you show through this training course that you're qualified, that you're capable, there's no reason a woman should be turned away if she's qualified, if she's capable. There's no reason any guy should be turned away if he's qualified or if he's capable. The only exceptions out of either one of the two categories would be an extreme long list of felonies. And that's another concern that some of the tower hands have, is their criminal record. They're like, hey, I got a felony. I can't join the Iron Workers Union. I can't go join IBEW. Well, a lot of people don't realize this, but the big tall towers, the real towers, before cell towers were even around, those were built by felons. The backbone of the wireless industry, the majority of the existing 20, 30-year-old cell supporters, guy towers, those were built by felons. And just because somebody's had a mistake on their record, just because somebody's made a mistake in life, it doesn't mean that they're incapable of being able to put a harness on and be trustworthy with the guy's life next to him. I do think, without getting too deep into it, I think that there's some individual felonies that catch you out right away. I think there's some that have continually shown over years and years and years of, man, you're doing the same thing and you just ain't learned. Yeah, that should be a big red light right there also.
Yeah. That's
one mistake too. one mistake in life too. Somebody showing that they're capable of performing a job, that they're capable of having responsibility, and that they truly want to be a working, productive citizen and a member of this brotherhood. We shouldn't turn them away.
I got to tell you, though, I've done a lot of jobs. When you do a lot of government work, you get a background check. And you know, obviously a lot of drug testing. But you get a background check because I did a lot of government work. And they look for depends who you did work for. But, you know, a lot of times a customer would do the background check. And if you had anything on there, you couldn't work the job. I'm not saying your company couldn't work the job, just you as an individual couldn't work the job. So. The records, I know what you're saying. Everyone deserves a chance. And I worked with some of those guys that had records. Great guys. The guys I worked with, they turned it around, you know. That was enough to scare them straight. Especially, you know, some of those guys were great. Then you work with other guys. Can't give the habits up. You know, some guys got bad habits. And they get caught, you know. I worked with guys that couldn't stop drinking, ruined their lives. I worked with guys that, you know, would fail drug tests over and over again. They never learned. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. They couldn't clean up.
So. You know, I've noticed a trend with, you know, the major companies, the Goliath size companies, I guess I'll say, like the Blue Streets, Ballard, Bechtels, West Towers. I've noticed a trend in them to where they're, like they say, they're trying to clean up their image, which I guess somewhat I understand that, even though I know that most of the true tower hands I know are not choir boys and wouldn't be in the running for choir boy of the year. While in their actions they're cleaning up their image, they're also putting clean cut two-year guys in foreman positions and then putting the 10 and 15-year guys below them, which that does two things. One, it's just not right. And two, I think the reason that some of them are doing it like that is because you get a 10, 15-year guy, even one that's a little roughneck felon but still goes up. I mean, you know, that was his past. He still gets out there and swings still. You get a 10-year, 15-year guy like that out there. And when it's something the company should have done and the foreman in the field saying, no, we can't do this, we might have to shut the shop down, they get a 2-year foreman in there, maybe a year and a half foreman. They're going to tell them, just go do it. And they're just like, cool, okay, and not know any better, or not have built up the intestinal fortitude of having faced that situation over the years to say no and stand their ground firmly. So yeah. I think that for some of these companies, it's not just a lack of manpower why they're putting less experienced guys in critical responsibility roles. I think a lot of it has to do with, to put it in layman's terms, the company wanting to be able to punk them out and say, go do this, and then just go do it, and not always do the right thing and stand their ground.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about that. I know exactly what you're saying. Everyone loves a yes man, right? I mean, especially if he works for you. And then you have your, like you said, your 15-year guy that's grumpy, that's going to tell it like it is. So I work with both kinds. You know, you have your, but I work with both kinds, right? But you do have your guys that in 2 years have really proved themselves. So that's such an individual thing. And I know what you're saying. It doesn't seem right. But if you have some guy that's just a superstar, let's say, and he can manage, and maybe he's better at managing, you know, you want your steel guy working the steel. Maybe you do want your project manager doing it. And if he can take the feedback from the tower crew, that's great. If he can't, you know, if he screws things up or somebody gets hurt in a job, then you would think he's out of a job. But I've seen the industry. Seems like, I don't know, some of these guys wind up staying in any other industry when they shouldn't be. But so I don't know. It's such an individual thing. I hate to discount him just because he only has 2 years experience. But with that said, you would think the guy that has 10 years experience would be better for the job.
Well, not. I mean, like when I started in 99, talking, if you didn't have 10 years experience, you wouldn't ride the crew. But it was heavy stacking then. It wasn't all LT like the LT phases now. And
again, that's a good point, too. It depends what you're doing, you know. And when you're stacking high steel, it's a big deal. You want your best guy stacking
well,
steel.
Well, no matter what it is that you're doing, since the industry does not have a comprehensive training program that makes tower hands, they're knowledgeable in all aspects. There's so many different unique situations that you run into doing tower work.
Yeah.
2 years is not 2 years is not enough time to have experienced them all enough, let alone multiple times over to have not only, not just familiarization, but the comfortability when approaching those situations to be able to shoot from the hip and say, we're going to take the hill this way.
Yeah.
We're going to charge out from this direction because I know this particular situation. I've seen this before.
Yeah.
Two years is not enough time for that.
I do think that's what happens with some crews that get in over their head because they're doing work and they're asked to do something that's out of the comfort zone and you have problems. That's what happens.
I do want to say this for any 2 year foreman that are listening right now. I ain't putting you down and saying you ain't worth nothing. What I am saying is that sometimes there's some things where it's not bad to give a little bit of time. That doesn't mean that y'all ain't rock stars, and that doesn't mean that anything that anybody said about you before they gave you that position ain't true. But you got to give it some time. And unfortunately, the company, they have the money, they're dictating it.
I got a couple more things. What do you? So you're going to go with the name Union of Tower Hands? That's what you're going to go with?
Yes, Union of Tower Hands. That's right.
You're going to call them Tower Dogs?
Well, you know, it was actually an easy choice for me. Working 3 years in broadcast, the way a lot of learning has been handed down in the broadcaster and the broadcast generations has been word of mouth. I mean, a lot of them travel by travel trailers. They live they bring their families with them. They homeschool their kids. When a broadcast crew gets up and moves and goes to another site, it's a migration. I mean, they're all one cohesive unit. And with that, traditions have gotten handed down word of mouth. Well, before cellular came on the scene, that is what we were. That was our title. It was Tower Hands, and it was a proud title. And it wasn't something that was given to a guy as soon as he put his harness on and climbed up the tower. That didn't make you a tower hand. There was no set point or landmark that they could achieve, that they could say, I am now at that point. That was for the guys around them. And they just, when the time came, they just knew. And it was, and it's a proud feeling for a green guy, especially amongst the broadcast fans, to get to that point to where they don't call him puke, scum, green bean, molasses. Hey, you, or any other list of names, but they start calling him a tower hand in reference to him.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So there's two reasons why I use the term tower hands for that.
One, so now pride, I got
one
another
pride, one. And one is heritage.
I got another question here for you. So let's say the tower union happens, you get moving along. So what makes you think that you can fit toe to toe with every tower owner, tower crew owner, every guy that runs a tower crew, and negotiate with them? Because that's going to be a huge task. Because, you know, a lot of these tower crews are, you know, they have one or two crews, maybe three or four if they're larger. It's not like you're dealing with one large company. You're going to have to sit toe to toe with guys that you probably even worked with or worked for in the past.
I'm good with that. So what makes you think I'll be able to? I'll tell you why. Because this is a brotherhood and a sisterhood. Everybody's ready for change. I've got the rallying flag. Everybody is going to want to be a union tower hand. So with that, our union, the union of tower hands, we have what they want, not the other way around. Without us, companies don't operate. And you can't go and find a supplemental force. You can't go, just like a strike break in the 1920s in New York City. There was one of the major subway owners. Guys went on strike. Guy figured he'd be, the owner of the subway figured he'd be innovative and go get, you know, college workers to just run the rail cars for him. So not only did they pay the college kids, they paid them more than what the previous employees that went on strike were making. Well, I'll tell you what. With us, there is no supplemental force. If all the tower hands in the country took a 2-week vacation, you're not going to be able to get another supplemental force in there to take over.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So we have what they need, not the other way around.
I know what you're saying. That's a good point.
So they don't have to sign a collective bargaining agreement. They don't even have to want to negotiate. And even better, I would love it if they completely underestimated every tower hand in the country and think that there's no way that their company is going to be any one of these companies that's going to get unionized in the next 18 months. I want them to think that, because I know that my tower brothers and sisters, we know better, and we know that we can do this. I feel like I should have put a booyah on the end of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was waiting for one more thing.
Booyah! Sorry. I'm really excited.
I think I covered everything. Yeah, it's such a serious conversation, isn't it? I guess the last thing, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, a couple of them. I know that when tower hands get done wrong, and it just happens so often, that when we talk about it on our different climbing pages that we talk on, a lot of other climbers will private message them or just tell them outright, man, we don't want to hear that, man. Quit your belly aching. Suck it up. Getting done wrong in the industry, bad things happening to climbers in the industry, is so commonplace that nobody wants to hear about it because it ain't news. I'm going to generate a different atmosphere during this fight. And I'm going to ask I'm going to ask some stuff of the climbers, and I'm going to ask some stuff of the families of our fallen brothers. With the climbers, I know that we got petty disagreements. Hell, I remember a guy 13 years ago stole my sled wrench and changed the color code tape on it to make it look like it was his. I remember that guy. I remember that grudge. We all have grudges. We all have disagreements. During this fight, I want everybody to not forget about them, not forget about the grudges that you have or the problems or the disagreements that you have with any other tower hand. Don't forget about them, but set them aside. Set them aside, and if you want to talk about something on Facebook, talk about your own personal stories on how companies have done you wrong. If, for whatever reason, you can't mention the company name, just talk in generality. Because it, for many reasons, it's been hushed down. We need to talk about it now. We need unionization. We need to talk about why. And as everybody has their ear to the ground right now, you see bits and pieces. But there's way more undercurrent underneath the surface. So we need to squash our petty disputes. We need to talk about the real issues at hand. And a lot of them will point back in the same directions. The companies, Nate, OSHA. I'm also going to ask the families, if they can and they don't have any legal reason not to, I want the families to share their stories with us via Facebook on these tower climbing sites. And I know it will hurt. I know it will hurt to talk about a fresh wound, an old wound, any kind of loss like that. It's going to hurt to talk about it, but we need to hear it. We need to keep our minds focused on what's important and to hear the words of these widows and these orphans. That's what's going to keep our mind in check to help us remember why we're fighting.
Remember the fallen. That's one thing I always try to do. I try to keep people to remember who we lost. We lost a lot last year. Didn't lose any this year that I know of. So it's been a good year, but it's been a slow year. You know, the work for the cellular industry has dropped off anyway.
Great. So I foresee once they get back to work, they're going to be 2 times behind what their projections should have been. The leg race is really going to kick off, and the pressure demands are going to be even higher than before.
Yeah, I think 2016 is going to be that way. You had the AWS-3 auctions. I know, you have other carriers that are going to do more builds. And, at some point, it's not only going to be tower works. You're going to have small cells out there doing that work. It's going to be a lot of work, I think. That's my prediction. I thought we'd have more. I thought it would be steady this year, but I think it's dropped off a lot more than we thought anyway. So I think we got everything we need. I think I'll let you go, Bryce. So
two more things.
Make some more points? Go ahead.
Just two more. I want to make a commitment to the families that have lost people to this industry. My commitment is that with unionization, we're going to stop that. I can't change the past. But we can help. We can help the healing through the Hubble Foundation with our union donating to the Hubble Foundation. We can help heal the wounds, and we'll be able to make sure that it doesn't happen to other families. And GoFundMe, or I'm sorry, CrowdRise. Fund the fight. Absolutely fund the fight. And everybody's money is getting donated. I'm not just spending all willy-nilly. I mean, this is on a clear, concise battle plan. I'll give a public accounting every 2 weeks aside from this first one. I'll need a 3-week lag time. And the only reason behind that, not showing publicly dollar by dollar in real time, is I need a little bit of lag time to tell anybody that plays poker will understand this. You can't always show the other side your full hand. But 3 weeks from today, when this is aired, I will have a public accounting for the last 3 weeks worth of expenditures, projections for future expenditures, and constant updates on where the fight is and what's going on. And then after the first 3 weeks, it'll be every 2 weeks thereafter, itemizing exactly where the funding is being allocated towards and what's going on with us. And by us, I mean tower hands. We're tower hands right now, but we'll all be union tower hands before not long.
Oh, your email, uniontowerhands@gmail.com. That's how people can get a hold of you.
Yeah, and I mean, I hope everybody realizes that I just jumped up and smacked Goliath square in the mouth of my video. So I'm sure by the time all this gets released, the bat phone is going to be blowing up like the Goodyear blimp. Email is going to be going off the hook. I mean, I've always prided myself on being available. I mean, anybody that knows me will tell you that my patented phrase is my phone is always on. I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you're trying to, you know, dial into a Nortel cabin, whatever it is, call me. I got you. I might not be happy with it, but I got you. Well, now on a mass scale like this, it's going to be hard for me. But as I build my staff, they're going to be able to help me to keep up on the treadmill with everything. So even to my closest homeboys out there, if you're calling me and I ain't answering, it ain't because we ain't homeboys no more. I'm just trying to keep up. So yeah, they can email me, they can call me on my phone. I mean my phone's publicly listed. They can hit me up on Facebook, Carrier Pigeon.
Can we give your phone number out? Let's give your phone. Why don't you give your phone number?
Sure. It's area code 317-401-0265.
And your YouTube channel?
I don't really know what the channel is. Probably Bryce Mallard. Anybody that's watched the video, I mean, there'll be a thing where they can, like, subscribe and they can look at my previous videos. So.
When's the video going to be ready? What date?
It will be, I want it to be like Tuesday or Thursday. I'm sorry, Tuesday or Wednesday of this week.
Which is the 31st or? Yeah, the 31st or April 1st, right? 2015.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So probably by the time this podcast comes out, it'll already be there because I'm probably going to release this on probably the second.
Oh, cool.
So. Yeah, I it takes me a little while to put everything together. Plus, I got a couple busy days here. I got plans today and plans tomorrow. So, yeah, we're recording this on the 29th, if anyone's wondering. On Sunday morning, Bryce and I are sitting around on the phone talking. Sort of funny.
I'll tell you why. It's because, I mean, the Red Bull scene on that video, it wasn't an exaggeration. I worked all day yesterday, all night last night, and I had about an hour free to drink some coffee, slam a couple greasy McDoubles, and hop on this. And then after this, finalization on the video, I mean, woo! Love the Tower World.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But it's a labor of love, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
That's how a lot of people stay in the business. I think a lot of your labor of love, I think that's why people stay in the business. I mean, I really like it. I mean, I'm still in the business. I don't climb anymore. You know, I do business development now, but I do this. This is my hobby. This is my hobby. I can make a living off this. But, I enjoy this, and I like getting the word out, and it just frustrates me because what I like about what I do is I can give my opinion. You know, I can have people like you on where give you a voice. Where I think normally you wouldn't have a voice. So,
honestly, for a lot of the stuff that I'm saying that's resonating with these other climbers, not all of them can come straight out to the forefront and speak as boldly as I am right now. Because
yeah, I think that's true.
Because they got jobs. Yeah. Let any one of them walk into their employer's office like, so, think about unionizing this place. See how that goes. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I personally talked to several of them that, you know, these kids are like they're working, so they don't want to rock the boat. I mean, it's really that simple. And I get it.
Right.
I get what they're saying, you know.
And they got families to feed. That's why they're coming to work, is so that they can feed their families. So that's what I really like because I connect so well with Tower Hands because I am one of them. But I know that with this video, I mean, there's when you watch my video, don't have popcorn popped in a bowl on your lap. Because you might jump up, start cheering, and that thing will fall on the floor, and you're not gonna be able to get that whole bowl of popcorn back together before the 5 second rule is up.
So that's one thing. I guess I look forward to seeing the video. So, all right, Bryce.
The fight is real, and the fight is here. Fun the fight. Unionization's coming to your workplace soon, for real.